so our speaker this week is Connie Gregory. Connie is actually one of my mom's great friends, so I'm super excited to have her speak here. A little bit about Connie. She is from Tremont, Illinois. She lives there with her husband, Brent. They have two sons and one daughter-in-law. Connie and Brent attend Northfield Christian Fellowship in Tremont. Connie was raised in a loving, stable home and met Jesus in 1971 through a local youth movement that developed into the Cabin Ministry, which is still active today. All of her life, Connie has had a heart for missions, and in 2004, they moved to Brazil in the Amazon, where they served for 10 years with the mission Project Amazon. Connie became fluent in Portuguese and enjoyed ministering to women, both one-on-one and in small groups. During her last few years in Brazil, Connie and Brent began providing member care for their mission team. They left Brazil in 2014 and spent the next year in a missionary care internship in Pennsylvania. Connie and Brent joined Barnabas International in 2018 and continue to serve with them and their home church as pastors to missionaries. Connie is a trained debriefer and has certificates in crisis intervention, leadership training, and interpersonal skills. She especially loves spending meaningful time with other girls, whether in a ministry context or just hanging out as friends. So, Connie?
Good morning. Hey, please forgive my voice. I had a cold this past week and I've been fighting it off. So if I sound a little nasally, that's why, or if I start to cough. But I've been praying and I took half a bottle of cough syrup. So I'm hoping I don't cough here. But anyway, I do want to thank Christy and Drea for inviting me here because, excuse me, just as was mentioned in that bio, I truly love to be with women. That's one of my favorite things to do, is to be with women. And I am so blessed to have lots of young women in my life. And even though I'm an empty nester, and I'm waiting on grandchildren, not very patiently, but I am waiting. I remember very well what it was like to be a young mom and just how important gatherings like this were for fellowship. Just having these small tables like this where you can fellowship for spiritual and emotional renewal. I remember that so vividly. And especially because I do spend a lot of time with young moms. But anyway, in chapter 2, if I could just go on and tell you about how God created woman and how I love being a woman. In fact, I often tell my girlfriends, I am so glad I'm not a boy. I mean, I just love being a woman because we are so fun, aren't we? And we're spontaneous and we love to laugh. And sometimes I laugh very loudly sometimes. And then we often cry. And we sometimes do that at the same moment. And so we love coffee shops. We love girl trips. I just got back from one from St. Charles, Missouri. It was so fun. And when we first got married, when Brent and I first got married 44 years ago, and I would go out with girls, and I'd be gone 3 hours. You'd be like, where have you been? Sitting at the coffee shop for 3 hours? What are you talking about? You know, now go ahead 44 years, and I'm like, I'm going to a coffee shop. See you at noon, you know. They don't get it. But anyway, that's okay. They don't get it. We do. And I love it. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There are friendships that we all have, even though they may not be a blood sister, that are thicker than blood. And I am so blessed that even though I don't have a sister, and even though I don't have a daughter, God has given me many, many sisters and daughters in Christ. Such a blessing. So So I would like to start laying a foundation to my talk, and I'd start with Jonathan and David. Two examples, I have two, of godly friendships. And the first one is 1 Samuel 18, and I'll read it real quick. As soon as he finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. That is such a beautiful example of how God took their souls and knitted them together. And he knitted them very, what that means is that they were tied together. They were bound together. That they were closely, emotionally attached. And they loved each other very much. They enjoyed each other. They defended each other. They enjoyed each other's company. And then another example is Ruth and Naomi, which is found in the book of Ruth, which I'm not going to stand up here and read the whole book, but I will summarize it. Naomi and her husband were from Bethlehem, and they and their two sons moved to Moab. Their sons married Moabite women named Orpah and Ruth. After a while, Naomi's husband died, and later both her sons died also. Can you imagine? Anyway, in her grief, Naomi set off for Judah. She urged her daughters-in-law to return to their own people to seek their new husbands, for new husbands. Orpah cheerfully went, but Ruth refused to leave Naomi. The Bible says Ruth clung to Naomi, telling her, "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge." And clung in the Hebrew means to stay close, to cleave, to stick to. Like that sticky stuff you put on your fingers sometimes and they stick together and you can't get them apart. I've done that before. Anyway, and Ruth joined herself with Naomi in selfless love, just like Jonathan and David. It's another beautiful example that we can draw from as women. So I have to tell you how this talk came about, because it was during COVID lockdown when we could not leave our house. We weren't supposed to leave our house, go to church. We couldn't go to church. All the Bible studies, we couldn't do that. And I was really, really missing my girlfriends. And I began thinking about the topic of friendship. And so I started asking myself, what does a deep and godly friendship look like? How can I encourage my sister through friendship? What kind of friend do I want to be? What's important to me as a friend? What do I like to have to receive from my friendships from other women? So that's where it all began for me. And I began searching the Word, and I came up, and you have seven things there, seven biblical passages that do illustrate the value of a good, solid friendship. I'll give you some guidelines to be a good and true friend, and I'll help give you elements that characterize a good friendship. So this is not exhaustive. But this was just seven that I found important to me, and I wanted to encourage my girlfriends in. So a godly friendship, number one, it shapes and sharpens us. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, when you put a kitchen knife in a drawer and you don't touch it for a while, and then you pull it out to use it, you will find it has become dull and useless. But when that blade then is rubbed against iron, then it becomes sharpened. Our godly friendships have the ability to shape us into the likeness of Christ. And that sharpening helps us be all that God wants us to be. Without godly friendships to sharpen us, we become dull and useless. So how does this happen? What do I mean we need to be sharpened? Well, I have found in my life it requires a deep level of accountability and trust. A trusted friend is given permission to look closely into our lives and see our weaknesses, our problem areas, and even sin that we might be participating in. Then speaks that into our life in confidence. We listen with their encouragement. We're able to move forward with their help. So it's a partnership, which I will talk about. But that's what sharpening means. Someone comes to you that you trust and you have given permission to speak into your life. And they're able to speak what they see. And we receive it because we're wanting to be sharpened. So a solid friendship is a place where we are shaped and sharpened. Number two, a godly friendship encourages, builds up, strengthens us. You could use any of those words or all. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. To encourage means to support each other and give each other courage and hope. So we can do this. We can encourage and we can build up one another by listening, by praying, by speaking God's truth to them, by serving them. What young mother wouldn't welcome a meal or a time out for coffee or, you know, have babysitting exchange? This is a way that we can encourage each other and build each other up. It says in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So in the same way that Jesus spoke the truth, it wasn't very fun truth, in this world you will have trouble, but he spoke the truth, but then he encouraged them and strengthened them by saying, I have overcome the world. So in the same way, we can speak these biblical truths to our sisters, and we can strengthen them to put on the armor of God so that it will strengthen their spirit and be able to, they'll be able to remain steadfast when there's times that they're troubled or discouraged or depressed. I love Proverbs 16:24, how it says, pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to our bones. There are power in our words, power to destroy or power to lift up and encourage. So the Bible tells us to speak the truth in love, to speak biblical truth. So through our friendships, we can build up and strengthen one another. The third one is provides a place of spiritual healing. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. One purpose of our relationships with each other is to help one another become more Christ-like. And And like I said, we do need a trusted person. One person. That's all it takes is one. That you can be transparent with. That you can confess your sins with, or your struggles, or your mess ups. We all need someone like that. And in that confession comes healing. And that person prays for you. And there can be spiritual healing. And I do want to say quickly, but that person that you share with needs to be a safe person. A person that will keep confidences. A person that will say, yes, I will take great care to guard this in my heart and not share it with anyone else. I will keep it just between you and me. Godly friendship there then can provide spiritual healing. A godly friendship gives grace, number four, and forgiveness. A godly friendship gives grace and forgiveness. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance towards someone else. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We're not perfect. We live in the flesh. We struggle with the flesh. And so sometimes we hurt each other. That's just normal. That's life. We do. But it doesn't have to stop there in that hurt. We can ask for forgiveness. And if somebody hurts us, we can receive their forgiveness when they ask. Friendships are often damaged and broken because people don't release grace and forgiveness. Unforgiveness, we have seen in our ministry and as I've worked with women, is a tool, enemy's tool, to destroy. He wants to destroy friendships. He wants to break up churches. He wants to destroy families, our Christian witness, our ministry that we're involved in. Don't let that happen. I beg of you, if you have anyone that you need to ask forgiveness of or extend forgiveness, give grace and forgiveness so that you may be spiritually healed. And number five, speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love that you may grow up in Him who is the head, Christ Himself. As we live together, as I said, in community, laughing, loving, sharing, crying, babysitting, serving, on and on, we give permission to speak hard truths to one another. In my life, I have a circle of very few, but I have a circle of very few trusted confidants. And I can go to them, and I know whatever I speak to them will not leave that place. That is so important to have in my life because I struggle with lots of things, and they begin in my mind often, and that's why we need the spiritual armor in our mind to chase away the enemy. But sometimes it just doesn't go there, it comes out here, you know? And so I share openly, and they do to me as well. And why do we have that pack? Why do we girlfriends have that with each other? It's because we love each other deeply and we want to sharpen each other. We want to grow in spiritual maturity. We want our lives to glorify Christ, and we need each other. We need each other for that. So, a genuine friendship speaks the truth in love so that we can be mature and grow in Christ. Number six, it's listening well. James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. So what does this look like? It's not easy, but with a godly friendship, when someone comes to you and shares to you these private things, we listen intently. We listen with our heart. We don't think about what we're going to make for supper or what I'm going to say next. We don't, you know, you try to chase those thoughts out, but you're there. You're present in the moment. And you hear them. And you might even say, or at least I do, am I hearing you right? This is your struggle. This is what I need to pray for. This is how I can pray for you. And so you're listening. It's an active thing. You're listening well. And so a real friendship is a place where you can be truly heard. When are we ever heard? People don't take time to hear us. But to be truly heard, find that person, a group of small people. If you don't have anyone, I'm sure God will provide. I know He will. Number 7, two are better than one. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. This is often something that is read at a wedding, but I like to think of it for our godly friendships as well, because we are not meant to be alone. We are not meant to be an island. We are not meant to go through life by ourselves without the support and love of each other. It wasn't intended that way by God. And so in order to succeed and make it through all of life's challenges as a young mother and beyond, I can tell you there's more beyond young motherhood. I've been there. We need each other. We need each other. So, true friends help each other succeed in life. And real quick, before I close, I want to share some, since I am now out of young motherhood and into the Titus 2, 3, 4 older womanhood. Nobody wants to be there, but it does happen. So, anyway, no, I'm teasing. I love it, actually. So anyway, it says, older women are to teach what is good. So train the young, I'm paraphrasing here. So train the young women to love their husband and children. So I condense the verses. So as an older woman, I encourage you to not just think of your peers. When you think of someone that you want to have as a trusted friend, that's fine to have some in your peers. I did. But I also had older women in my life. In fact, I had two older women, particularly L and L. I won't say their names, but L and L, that's their initial. They were two older women in my life that poured into me. They poured into me. They poured into my life spiritually, physically. They taught me how to parent well. They answered all my myriad of how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I? They never got tired of hearing that. How do I? And why does he do this all the time? And why? Why? I honestly didn't know. So they were so wonderful and so gracious, and they cheered me on with every success that came my way. And they were just, they hugged with me, they prayed with me, they cried with me. Oh, I love them. They're gone now, but I love them so much. There is no greater joy than being a mom, having a family. There is no greater joy, but it comes with challenges. It comes with discouraging times, frustrating times, sleepless nights, all kinds of things. So a trusted friend, an older woman, is essential. If you don't have one, I just pray that you will seek one out. So in closing, through the gift of friendship, we can be transformed into the image of Christ and receive all the benefits that I mentioned, and I'll go through them so that in case you missed. You can be sharpened. You can be encouraged. Be healed. Be forgiven and release forgiveness. Be matured in Christ. Be heard, understood. Be strengthened in partnership with one another. And why do we need all that? Why is that important for us? So that we can fulfill the calling the Lord has given each one of us in this room and beyond. So that we can be the wife, the mother, the friend, the sister, the mentor, whatever God has called you to be. These benefits will help you. I'd like to pray for you now in closing if I can. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to spend time with these precious young women. You know that's my heart. That's my passion. That you have created each one of them, and you love each one of them so much. Thank you for each mom and for the gift of children that you have given them. Lord, I know you have placed such a high calling on motherhood. Please fill each one of these women with your strength, grace, patience, and steadfastness as they daily care for their children. Jesus, I pray that you will provide each woman with an authentic, trusted friendship. Surround them with encouraging friends who understand their journey of motherhood, who can empathize with their struggles and share within their tears and their laughter. May their friendship be a blessing, bringing joy, support, and sharpening their faith. Lord, I pray these things over each one of these women in your precious name. Amen. Thank you.